You are now listening to For Such a Time as This radio show with Prophetess Epiphany Tanya.
Let's open up in a word of prayer. And I want to welcome you. Before I do, I want to welcome you to the For Such a Time as This podcast. And I want to thank you for listening and tuning in. Please share this podcast with others that you know need to hear the word and need to be blessed. Please do share it. But we're going to open up in a word of prayer. We thank you, Father God. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. We bless your holy name. We ask you to prepare our hearts and minds for the word that's coming forth, Lord God. Break up the fallow ground. Let the word fall on good ground. Let us be that good ground that the word falls on and grows up to bear much fruit, Lord God. Let us not just be hearers of the word, but let us be doers also. Let that word come in and be that lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lead, God, instruct and teach us, Lord God, and help us to walk in your word. Help us to take your word in and help us to be the better for it, God. We thank you. We know that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish all that you set it out to do. So we thank you for that in advance. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. All honor, all power, all glory belong to you. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, touch those under the sound of my voice. Touch and use this message, Father God. Touch and bless those listening and those that would listen on the playback, Lord God, and let their lives be forever changed. Let them be blessed. Let them be well. Help them through whatever situations they're going through, Father God. Heal their bodies, touch their minds, change their finances, touch their bank accounts, Father God. Just do any and everything and supply their needs, Father God, that you do any and everything that needs to be done for them and supply their needs. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, we pray and put your protection over us, on us, around us, between us, your protection. Send your warring angels, archangels, high-ranking angels to come down now and camp round about and fight for us now. We thank you. We give you glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, beloved, like I said, it's a powerful word. I hope you're ready. I hope you're holding on to your seat. And now, stay tuned for this powerful word from the Word of God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So, happy Resurrection Day. Glory to God, glory to God. So, we're going to be reading out of Luke 23. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 23, verses 33 through 47 to start. And yes, it will be a reading heavy message today, glory to God. But I believe that it's something very powerful that's in store for us on today. Hallelujah. So glad you joined us for such a time as this podcast message. Glory to God. Now, we're reading Luke 23, and it says, glory to God. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garment, they parted his raiment, and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, saying, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss.
And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man.
May God add a blessing to the reading of his word, even though reading his word is the blessing. The title of this message is, What Will It Take? What will it take? We have to think about the fact that Jesus was just good. He was just good. It was nothing about him that was anything bad. It was just good. He just went about doing good, as a matter of fact. When Jesus walked the earth, Jesus went about doing good. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He caused the lame to walk. He restored the hearing to the deaf. He brought the dead back to life. He fed the hungry, the 5,000 with the fish and the loaves. All he did was good. Everything he did was good. But the religious leaders sought to crucify him. And the people yelled, crucify him. When he stood before Pilate earlier in the text, before we get to this point, before he's actually crucified, when he stood before Pilate, Pilate said, I can't find anything guilty in this man. I can't find any sin or any wrong or any flaw in this man. And I want to release him. But the people said, no, crucify him. They said, give us Barabbas and crucify him. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense why that they were so against and hateful of Jesus, who did nothing but good. Jesus just went about doing good all of the time. But yet here they are yelling, crucify him, right? And so we have to ask ourselves, why did these individuals who had Jesus, who they could see, who was in front of them doing so much good, just loving people, just helping people, just healing people, why they had to hate him like they did, why they had to not believe, even though he was right before them performing all the miracles, why they had to twist his name and take his name in vain and just say all manner of evil against him falsely. And then we get to this verse down in Luke in 47. And now we have the centurion. This had to be probably the same centurion that parted his garments, the same centurion that helped put the thorns on his head, the same centurion that was mocking him, saying, oh, King of the Jews. Here we have him in 47 saying, glorifying God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man, when he sees everything that happened. Because it, even though it doesn't talk about this in Luke, we know that when Jesus was on the cross and as he was being crucified, that the sky grew dark and that the thunder roared. So now they begin to see some more signs in the sky. Now they begin to see some things. But why did it have to take all that? Why did it have to take for Jesus to be crucified and die for before they could believe, before this centurion could say, oh, certainly this is a righteous man? The question here is, what will it take? I want you to go to, we're going to be reading in Isaiah 53. We're going to read, it's going to, again, going to be some reading heavy things here, but I believe it's important for us to understand what really happened at Calvary. Isaiah 53 is just the picture of what everything in the Bible is all about, what it all was culminating to, this event here at Calvary. Isaiah 53 sums it up and tells us all of who Jesus is and was and what he did for us. And we see in Isaiah 53, it says, who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. For he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word, even though reading his word is the blessing. Look what all that Jesus did for us. Look at Isaiah 53. It's the picture, it's the epitome. It's everything points to this moment in time on Calvary. It sums up Jesus' story. Jesus' ministry is all here in Isaiah 53. He was bruised for our transgressions. He suffered all he did for us. He suffered all he did for us. But everybody couldn't believe. They couldn't receive him when he walked on the earth in front of them, before their eyes, doing all this good, healing the sick, helping the lame walk, giving sight, giving hearing back, helping people, feeding the hungry. He did all of this, and they still couldn't receive or believe him. Then he got on the cross, and it was some that were changed in that moment, like the centurion, and they saw, this must be a righteous man. This must be who he says he is. They saw in that moment, and some of them still didn't believe. And then they took his body down and put him in the tomb, and some of them still didn't believe. And then he got up again on the third day. He rose, and now there were some that wanted to believe once they saw that, but then there were still who didn't believe. You got to think about this. It was so many people in Jesus' day who saw all the events taking place, and they still couldn't believe. But what does God say about those that were there at the time versus us now who weren't there? We didn't see all the things they got to see. We didn't experience what they got to experience. And we turn to John 20:20. Now we learn what God says about those that weren't there, that didn't see, but we still believe God. In John 20:29, it says, Jesus saith unto him, talking to Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those that have not seen. We weren't there when all of this took place. We have to have faith that it is so. As the word says, as we have to believe God at his word. But he says, we're more blessed than those that were right there to touch Jesus' hands and nails and scars. Thomas got to put his hands in Jesus' scars. Thomas got a firsthand account, and he still had his doubts. But here we are, over 2,000 years later, still believing and trusting in God. And he says, we're even more blessed because of that. Because we have nothing to go on but faith. We have to believe that what God says is so. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so sometimes for some people, you know, I used to go to a church back in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where I was born and raised. And I remember I was a person once Jesus set me free, once I met the Lord, once he came into my life and touched my life. It was so miraculous for me. I was so low down. You have to think I was like the woman with the alabaster box, because Mary of Magdalene, well, the things that Jesus delivered her from were so tremendous. He said, he who is forgiven much loves much, right? Sometimes you're not going to understand with certain people, they're going to have a certain level in God. They're going to have a certain level of praise, a certain level of passion, a certain level of faithfulness. You're not going to understand why this person has this level that they have. Could it be because God brought them up from so much more lower than you could ever imagine? You couldn't even handle going as low as they went and coming up as high as they do. Because when they go down that low and Jesus brings them out, the love that that person's going to have, the passion that that person's going to have, the fire that that person's going to have because of the miraculous work that Christ has done in their life. And a lot won't be able to understand it. And I remember it being this thing that my former pastor used to say. He's like, it don't take all that, right? He said, that's what they can say that. They can say that it don't take all that, but they have no idea. For some of us, yes, it does take all that. When they get mad at you because you praise God like a maniac and they're upset because you're upsetting and ruffling their demons. Their demons don't like to hear the praise of God, so they're mad when you get loud and they want you to just be quiet. Just sit down and be quiet, like they told the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, just hush, be quiet. Don't call out to Jesus like that. But he couldn't be quiet because he knew that Jesus had everything he needed in it, wrapped up in him. Jesus had his vision in sight. You can't be blind and see your vision in sight walking by and be quiet about it. Glory to God. His vision and sight walked in front of him, the very thing that he knew he needed and he wanted more than anything in this world at that moment. He wasn't going to be quiet over that. And some people can see and hear and have all types of miracles happen in front of them and they still won't believe. And the question is, what will it take? What will it take? Jesus died on the cross. He did good in front of them. He did all this stuff. What will it take? For that centurion, it took for Jesus to say, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. Because he couldn't probably even fathom how could someone go through this type of torture, this level of pain, and still have forgiveness in their heart for the people that did it. Sometimes it's your forgiveness of your enemies that helps your enemies see God. Sometimes it's going to be something that God is going to use. It's going to take something great before they can finally see. And lastly, I want to leave you with, we're going to go to Luke 16 and we're going to be looking at the rich man and another Lazarus, not the Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead, but there was a beggar named Lazarus. And we're going to be looking at that because I want you to see something that God showed me about what will it take. And so it says that there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. So basically he had it going on. He was rich. He had everything he needed. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at this gate full of sores. So Lazarus here has laid it out and he's suffering. He has sores all over his body. And Lazarus is desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So this man is suffering. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. So you got to understand about Abraham's bosom. Before Jesus died on the cross and rose again, there was no way for anyone to go to heaven. There was no entrance because Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life.
And there's no other way we can go to heaven. There's no other name whereby we must be saved but Jesus Christ. So before this time, there was a place called Abraham's bosom that existed in the pit of hell. And so that was a place for anybody that did believe in Jesus to come, right? Because it was their faith in Jesus coming that got them saved back then before Jesus came, right? They had to have faith that the Messiah was on his way. The Messiah was coming. They had to have faith in that. And that was their entrance into Abraham's bosom because there was no way to get to heaven just yet. And so we read about Abraham's bosom here in Luke. And so it says in hell, right? This rich man is buried. He dies. And Lazarus buried. He dies. And he dies and was buried. Both of them are buried. And it says in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and he seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, right? So this rich man now is in hell and he's looking over and he sees Abraham and Lazarus because everybody went to hell before Jesus came. They all went there, but some of them had Abraham's bosom to be in, to be comforted in hell, and others were being tormented. And the rich man, he cries and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. So now Abraham's talking back to him saying, look, you had all the good stuff before, but you didn't think to do good, even though you had all the good things in your hand. You didn't think to do good and do right by people, to take care or help anybody like Lazarus. You didn't think to have faith in God and Jesus for yourself. You didn't think about any of that. Now you're over here being tormented. Lazarus is being comforted. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So it's a big gulf. It's a big gap in between them in this place where Abraham's bosom is kind of lifted up off the ground. They're not in the torment area. They're just in a comfortable place, right? And so they can't go back and forth. They can't, one can't get to the other because it's nothing but fire and brimstone between them. But they can hear each other and they can talk to each other like they're doing, right? And so he says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. So now this rich man is trying to make a deal with Abraham saying, please take Lazarus and go send Lazarus to my father's house. He says, for I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Right? So now he's trying to get a dead man to rise from the grave to go to his family's house and tell them so they don't end up where he is. And he says, Abraham saying to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He's like, God gave them prophets already. He gave them Moses. He gave them the word of God. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He gave man everything that man would need to believe and have faith in God. That's how they got to Abraham's bosom, because they heard and they believed. Right? And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. My God, my God. May God have the blessing of the reading of his word. So what are we talking about here? What will it take? What will it take? This man had everything to his disposal. He had everything at his feet. What will it take? He had Lazarus begging at his gate and he still wouldn't do right. What will it take? He had to go all the way to the pit. And now he's trying to have a change of heart, but at this point it's too late. What will it take? And he begs and says, to Abraham, for Abraham to send Lazarus back up, a dead man, to rise from the dead, because surely they shall believe at that point. But then what happens? Well, God grants this request and he sends Jesus raised from the dead. Does that make everybody believe like this rich man said it would? Does everybody now believe in Jesus Christ because Jesus raised from the dead? The question is, what will it take? What will it take? God has given us everything that we could possibly need. He's afforded us every opportunity. He's given us the word of God. He sent his only son to die. He's made every way possible to man that they would repent and they wouldn't end up in this fiery place like this rich man. He granted this rich man's request and he sent us Jesus Christ, who raised up from the dead. Because this rich man claimed, okay, if you send Lazarus back, if you send someone from the dead back, surely they're going to listen then. The question is, what will it take? What will it take to get you to see and believe and receive Jesus Christ? What will it take when he's done miracles? He saved your life time and time and time again. I can't speak for you. I'm going to speak for myself. I can't tell you how many wrecks I've been in. God saved my life time and time again. I can't tell you how many times I lost it all. God saved my life time and time again. And the question is for you, what will it take? There's things in your life, if you go back and you trace back over your life, you can see where you've had mercy, you've been spared, you've been watched over, you've been provided for, you have all these things at your disposal. But instead, what do people do? They want to give credit to something else. They want to say it was the universe, or it was Muhammad, or it was this person, that person. No, it was Jesus. It was Jesus that gave you life. It was Jesus that watched over you. It was Jesus Christ that breathed on you. It was Jesus Christ that kept you when you were in that car wreck. It was Jesus Christ that kept you no matter what you've gone through. It was Jesus Christ that kept food on your table, clothes on your back. It was Jesus. But what will it take for you to recognize where your help comes from? What will it take? What will it take? I hope you don't end up like this rich man. I pray it doesn't go to that point. And this is why Jesus came. This is why Jesus died. This is why he suffered like he did. So you didn't end up in this place where this rich man went. You don't end up in a place in a fiery torment. You don't end up in a place talking about, oh, send somebody back from the dead. God already did that. He already did that. And they still refuse, so many still refuse to believe. So in Jesus' name, what will it take? What will it take for you to recognize who God is, who has believed our report in Isaiah 53, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait until it's too late. If you don't know the Lord today, this is your opportunity. This is a chance Jesus Christ has given us and will give us and has given us and continues to give us chance after chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I pray that you don't end up in a pit. I pray you don't end up like this rich man. This is your opportunity. All you have to do is say yes to him. After all you've heard today, what will it take? After all you've heard in this message, in these messages of Jesus on the cross, of Jesus dying, shedding his blood, of Jesus suffering, being bruised for you and for I, what will it take? What will it take? He's done so much already. What will it take? Don't end up in a fiery place because you think it don't take all that. Glory to God. So say this prayer with me, if you will. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I'm in need of a savior. I know and I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and you rose again on the third day, and that's what today represents. I want to give you my life. I give you my life. I open my heart up to you today. I give you my heart, my mind, my body, my soul. I give you my life for the rest of my life. Come into my life, take over and be Savior and Lord.
have your way. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for what you did. I thank you for this wonderful gift. In Jesus' name, I pray. I receive you in, God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. The Bible says if you said that prayer with all sincerity, with the bottom of your heart, you are saved. In Romans 10:9-13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You just call on him with your heart. He said to them that believed, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. So with that being said, you are now a son or a daughter of the Most High God, of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. And I would encourage you to get into a Bible teaching, Jesus preaching, faith believing church and walk out this journey with God, because there's so much he has in store for all of his children. All others, I'm going to pray us out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We praise you. We worship you, God. We give you all the glory. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for this message. Thank you for this sermon. I pray that it reach those that it needs to reach. It touch those that it needs to touch. Get down in the deep recesses and the crevices of their heart, mind, body, and soul. Let this word penetrate through the darkness, through the junk, through the gunk, through the mire. Let this word get in their heart. Let it revive them, refresh them, renew them. Resurrect, God. Resurrect like you did over 2,000 years ago. Resurrect our faith in you. Resurrect our lives in you, so we can be on fire for you, that we could be able to live out these last days to your glory, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, make us billboard displays of your glory, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, let us be light shining for you, Jesus. City set on the hill which cannot be hid. Hallelujah. Oh God, anything you do in our lives, God, we're going to point our fingers, our hands back up to you and say, but God, if it wasn't for God on my side, where will I be? We're going to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for all the blessings that you're pouring out on us, all the things that you're doing for us. Every time you hear and answer our prayers, and even sometimes when you tell us to wait or you might tell us no, we still give you glory. We praise you anyway and anyhow. Touch those under the sound of my voice, Lord, to really walk this thing out, to really be on fire for you, to really know you like deeper, higher heights and deeper depths like never before. That we can draw closer to you, God, in this evil day. We can redeem the time in these last and evil days. And we can give you all the glory, God. We just want you to be glorified, God. You be glorified, God. Let us be a testimony in your hands, God. Break off chains. Break off bondages. Break off and deliver. Cast out demonic forces. Deliverance, God. We pray you send your deliverance, God. Cancel the enemy's assignments. Cast out these forces that's not of you. And shine your light in and on and through us. Your Holy Spirit, fill us. Fill us and refill us with the living waters of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Well, beloved, that's it. I want you to go be great on purpose. I want you to know I love you and it's nothing you could do about it. I want you to know whatever you're going through, God is turning that thing around for you. And who knows if you've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. This is Epiphany Tanya, and you can check out more of my ministry at linktree.ee/Epiphany, EPIPHANYTANYA, Epiphany Tanya. Go check it out. You know, I'm not saying you got to buy anything because there's some stores on there. There's a lot of businesses and different things and ministries, but you don't have to buy anything. Just go there so you can be inspired and you can be encouraged to know that someone who was told they would never amount to anything could have a link tree that looks like that. So you go there and be inspired and be touched. In Jesus' name, until next time, God bless you. Love you. Peace.